following message is from New Life Gillette series, Work Hard, Rest Hard. This week, Pastor Mike presents part two of this series.
Morning. You can grab a seat. Let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison, and to those of you who are here in the room. We are in week two of a series called Work Hard, Rest Hard, and it's a series all about time management. How are we spending our time? What are we doing with our time? How are we prioritizing our time? We've been having this conversation with my oldest son. He's three, about to turn four. And if my son could spend his time however he wanted, he would spend most of it alone by himself in a corner playing with a truck. This is how he wants to spend his time. He's not too into the relationships thing. And we've started to tell him that, Lincoln, your life will be better if you are social, at least at some times. If you build some relationships, if you make some friends. When all your friends are hanging out over here, you shouldn't be over here by yourself. So we've told him that if you want to make friends, you've got to ask them questions about themselves. Namely, what's your name? Type of questions. Have you ever talked to your kid and you just feel like it's getting nowhere? Like in one ear, out the other, talking to the back of the head. It's as if you don't exist. This is how I feel often when I'm talking to my son right now. And so I'm telling him, Lincoln, you got to ask him questions. Say, hey, what's your favorite color? Hey, what cartoon do you like to watch? Or hey, find out information about them and it will help you connect with them. You've got to take an interest in them if you want them to be your friends. And so we're kind of coaching him through how to build relationships. Well, there's one neighbor boy that Lincoln really likes. Like, talks about him when he's not around, asks about him when he's not around. We can tell that Lincoln really wants to be his friend. Well, the problem is, this neighbor boy is like a year older, maybe a year and a half older than Lincoln, so he hasn't taken as much interest in Lincoln. And I told Lincoln, I was like, just get to know him. Go up to him and ask him about things. Ask him about his favorite stuff, or ask him about what he likes to do for fun, and just get to know him a little bit. Maybe when you take interest in him, he'll take interest in you. All the while, I think Link is not hearing a word I'm saying because he just keeps playing with his toys. Until about 30 minutes after I told him this, we go outside and Lincoln sprints over to this boy who's already playing out in his front yard. Big step already. We're too shy for this normally. He sprints over to the kid and he goes, do you know where I can find a garbage truck? Lincoln, that's not the type of question I was talking about. You're supposed to take an interest in them, not tell him about your interest. He didn't get it. The boy did not, was just like, weirdo kid, and just walked away. I have a little bit of a heartbreak moment until I hear my son says, wait, I have more questions! Like, okay, at least he was listening. We're getting there. Today we're going to talk about how do we prioritize our time, how do we spend our time, and something we say around here often is that there is nothing that you can do with your time that is more important than investing in relationships. There is nothing that you can do with your time that is more important than relationships. Because every moment of your life is a decision. Every moment of your life is a decision. How will I spend my time in this moment? At this moment, you can be deciding, should I be checking scores on ESPN or listening to Mike? Today, you're going to go home. You're going to ask, should I eat first or should I watch the Chiefs game first? Go Chiefs. You're going to constantly, throughout your life, you're going to be asking yourself, what should I do in this moment? And most of us don't really have a plan. Most of us just kind of let life happen to us. What I feel like doing in the moment, I'm going to do it. When somebody asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. Just because I just go with the flow, right? And I'm not saying that you got to be a rigid scheduler. I'm not saying that if you don't have a set plan, then there's a problem. But if you just let everybody else and everything else determine your life, here's what's going to happen. Your priorities are going to be missed. You aren't going to have enough time to do the things that are most valuable. Because our time is limited, we have to prioritize how we spend it. Because we don't have indefinite time, it will run out and you can't borrow more. Because time is limited, we have to prioritize how we spend it. Last week, we talked about this idea of Sabbath. We talked about how this guy named Moses told the Israelites about how they should work for 6 days and then rest for 1 day. And it was a brilliant command because it helped them to accomplish more in 6 days than they could have ever dreamed of accomplishing in 7 days. God blessed the rest. And when they rested, they were able to be more efficient and have more energy to accomplish in 6 days than what they could in 6 days. And in a way, Moses introduced to them a law inspired by God that revolutionized not just the Israelites, but our world. It was brilliant, this command that Moses gave them. And Moses, let's just take a few minutes here, and I want to tell you the life story of Moses. Because knowing where he comes from is important in understanding what we're about to read that he wrote. See, Moses spent the first 40 years of his life as the prince of Egypt. Now, Moses was a Hebrew or an Israelite, but he was adopted into the king's family or Pharaoh's family. Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter, the princess, adopted Moses and raised him in the king's palace. He was trained as one of the king's family. He got to live the life of luxury. He got the power that comes along with being royalty. This was the life that Moses lived for 40 years. The problem is that for those 40 years, Moses felt this tension. This tension that, I know I'm an Israelite or a Hebrew, but I'm an Egyptian. And it was just kind of this thing nagging at him until one day he realized where his loyalty really was. When he saw an Egyptian slave driver beating a Jewish slave. And something welled up inside of him. And he got this righteous indignation, and he started to defend the Jewish slave, so much so that he killed the Egyptian master. Well, the consequences for murder are what you assume the consequences for murder should be, and so Moses runs away from Egypt. He flees into the wilderness until he runs across some shepherds. So Moses in the wilderness spends the next 40 years of his life as a shepherd. And you want to talk about a change of culture going from being a prince of Egypt to being a shepherd. I don't know what you, there may be a shepherd in this room, but I got to meet a real life shepherd, like the kind that they talk about in the Bible times. And when I went to Israel last, and let me just say, his life looked a little bit boring. Like, the most exciting thing that could ever happen to a shepherd is this. Other than that, there's nothing fun that happens as a shepherd. You go to the pen, get the sheep out of the pen, you go walk around a bunch, let them eat, then you take them back to the pen, you go to sleep, you wake up the next morning, get them out of the pen, go walk around a bunch, bring them back to the pen, and go to sleep. This is your life, routine, day after day. It has to happen every single day, and it's a boring life. And so Moses gets to the age of 80, and he's probably thinking this is how he's going to retire. I'm going to retire a shepherd. I started off as a king. I'm going to end as a shepherd, and that's just how it is. I'm an 80-year-old man. There's not much more left for me to do. Until one day, as an 80-year-old, Moses stumbles upon a burning bush. And Moses walks over to the burning bush because he noticed that the burning bush is not burning up. It just keeps burning. And then all of a sudden, the voice of God comes out of this bush. And God himself tells Moses from a burning bush, you are going to go to the king of Egypt. You are going to go to Pharaoh and make him release his prisoners, the Israelite, your fellow Israelites. You're going to say, let my people go, whatever Heston's name is. Let my people go, is what you hear. It's that iconic scene from Prince of Egypt. And then God does a bunch of miracles and plagues and all this stuff. And finally, God forces Pharaoh to let the Israelite people go. So Moses now spends the next 40 years of his life as the leader of Israel. This is quite a life, right? And being the leader of Israel is not like being a shepherd. Well, in a way it is. Being the leader of Israel is not like being the king of Egypt. In a way it is. See, both of those things prepared him for this, but this is different than both of those things. Because at age 80, when he's thinking about retirement and resting, God's like, no, I've got something new for you. And Moses spent the next 40 years of his life with the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness. And while they were wandering around in the wilderness, this is when Moses gives them this revolutionary Sabbath law. This is when Moses tells them that you're going to rest one day out of every week. 6 days of hard work, one day of rest. 6 days of hard work and the one day of rest gave them the energy to do really good work for 6 days. And it revolutionized Israel. And so with this in mind, understanding that Moses has some perspective on time now. He's 120 years old. He's wandering around in the wilderness with the Israelites. And Moses has some perspective. And today, I want to read a psalm with you. And when you think of psalms, who do you think of? David. You think of King David, who wrote most of the psalms. Well, this psalm that we're going to read today was not written by David. The psalm we are going to read today was actually written by Moses. And Moses wrote us a psalm. It's actually a prayer about time. And Moses says this, Lord, through all the generations, we're starting off with time, through all the generations, he's worshiping, you have been our home, God. So Moses is saying, look, we don't have a home. We wander around in the desert. This is what Israelites do right now. And through all this time, God, you've protected us. You've been our shelter. You've been the wall around our city. You've been our roof. You've been our foundation. God, you have been our home when we didn't have a home. So Moses is praising God. And he says, before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world. I think Moses was a creationist, by the way. You gave birth to the earth. Now, that's just cool. That is a really cool concept to think of God as the father of the earth. He says, from the beginning to the end, you are God. In other words, God, you have no beginning and you have no end. But everything that has a beginning and everything that has an end was created by you. You are the creator of everything finite. And as the creator of everything finite, you can turn people back to dust. God, you're that powerful. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. I think this is the reason why anytime we paint a picture of Moses, he looks an awful lot like Gandalf. This line here. Return to dust, you mortals! You shall not pass! Because Moses is worshiping God and he's using the biggest words he can think of to describe the greatness of God. And I'm just going to be honest with you, this is a very tricky passage. Because some people in this room view God as somebody who's got total control of your life. You're Calvinist or Reformed, and you just believe that God has numbered your days, he's controlling your days, he's controlling your steps, and everything, every decision you make and everything that you do. Now, there's other people in this room who are on the other side of the spectrum. They don't believe that God has much to do with what, or forcing you to make decisions or numbering your days. They kind of feel like God gave you a beginning and then just kind of said, live with it as you will. And then most of us fall somewhere in the middle of those two extremes. But let me say this, no matter which end of that spectrum you fall on, I'll tell you this, you believe that God has at least some control over the length of your life. You, to some extent, believe that God can affect the length of your life. You know how I know that? Well, let me ask you this. If you were to find out this afternoon that you have terminal cancer, would you pray? Would you ask God for healing? Would you ask your church family to pray for you? Absolutely. Every single person in here would pray. In fact, people who say they don't even believe in God, very quickly after getting a diagnosis like that, start praying. because to some extent, we all believe that God has some control over the length of our lives. And so Moses continues and he says this, "For you, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few nights, hours." You know how as you get older, time moves faster? Well, this is being written by Moses, who's lived 120 years, so time moves pretty fast for him. God has lived for eternity, so can you guess how quickly time moves to him? Sometimes I think that God just kind of wonders about how we do decide to spend our time. Like, so often we're just in such a hurry. We come to God and we say, "God, I need this." Where is it? Waiting. God. Like, we want God to be on our timeline. Because to us, time takes a long time. We think our lives are long. God, I think sometimes God hears us and he's just like, "Do you know how short? Calm down. I got this. Like, just take a breath. Stop worrying. Stop being in such a hurry. Just hold on a second. I got this." And so Moses is saying, "God, you understand time like we can never comprehend." And he's about to even go further with it. And he says, "You sweep people away." We don't like this statement. We love the idea of thinking of God as a creator. We don't like the idea of thinking of God as a killer or a destroyer. We don't like that idea. We like the idea of thinking that God can create us. We don't like the idea of that God can take us out of this world. But Moses says, "You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that spring up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered." And Gillette, we know all about this. My wife and I have some tulips out in front of our house. Actually, I don't know anything about flowers. It may be tulips or maybe some different kind of flower. But we have these flowers that come up in front of our house every single year, and they're gorgeous for like 10 seconds. Like, when they bloom, you got 10 seconds to take your family picture in front of the house because that's all they're going to last. And I just keep thinking, what is the point of these flowers? Like, why do we spend all this time planting and watering and do all this stuff for such a short bloom? Like, just here today, gone to tomorrow. What is the point? And this is what Moses is saying about our lives. What's the point, God? It's just, what is the meaning of all this? Moses says 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. I think when Moses was writing this, he was reflecting on the past century. He was reflecting on his life. And Moses is thinking about how he got to live in luxury in Pharaoh's palace. He was thinking about the 40 years as a shepherd. He's thinking about this. Oh, I was going to play it again. It was going to be funny. I'll spoil the ending. Oh. I just want an excuse to play it again. Moses is reflecting on his life. He's thinking about the past 80 years and then the 40 years walking around in the wilderness. And then God gives Moses some bad news. God steps into the story. They've walked around in the wilderness for 40 years and they're standing on the border between the wilderness and the promised land. And God says, "You're not going to get to go in." One of the things that the Bible tells us about Moses that I think is really cool, the Bible just quickly mentions that at age 120, Moses still had good eyesight. It just sticks it in there. It's details like that that make me really believe the story of the Bible. Like, why would you say that? Because it was true, and it was something that was cool about him. At 120, he still had good eyesight. Well, when God told Moses that he was never going to get to go into the promised land, that he was going to die before they go into the promised land, God threw him a bone. And he said, "Here's what I'll let you do. I'll let you go up on that mountain and look down into the promised land. I'll let you see it." It's a good thing Moses had good eyesight, right? So Moses climbs up a mountain and he looks down into the land that he will never get to go in. Can you imagine that agony? 40 years of wandering to get to this place and then God says you can't go in? Moses has a perspective on time that none of us have. His experience and the length of his life gave him perspective that we don't have. And so Moses is reflecting on this reality as he's standing on the edge of the promised land writing this. He says, but even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. When he wrote this, with such agony in his heart, with such pain and struggle, you assume Moses, somebody who's talked to God face to face, would have no pain. I mean, if the prosperity gospel is true, Moses should have never felt pain in his life. And this guy who's lived his life with God by his side is describing this life of pain. And he says, who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath. We don't like this either. Because when we talk about God as a God of love, right? Well, he is. We talk about God saying that his love is unconditional. Well, it is. So how does this work together? God's love, unconditional love, is what should cause us to fear him. Don't you think it's healthy when sometimes a child fears his or her parent? Like when my kid first was learning the rule of not running out into the road without looking or without permission, you know what I tried to do as much as I could? Scare him. I knew just giving him an instruction not to run into the road was not going to do it, was not enough instruction. So my goal was that the first time he did it, that he would be so scared of ever doing it again that when he thought about walking into the road, he thought of the wrath of Dad. This is the awe that Moses is trying to teach us about in this passage. Like you should know that God loves you unconditionally, and you should know that that love at times will lead to pain. Because God created you for a purpose, and sometimes it's hard to become who you were created to be. Sometimes it's hard to step into that purpose. Sometimes you'll have to deny yourself in order to become who God created you to be, and this is what Moses is teaching us. So prioritize your time, not based on what you feel like doing, not based on what you want to do. And when I say create a plan for your life or come up with priorities, I'm not talking about invent something. I'm saying seek God. Find what God's plan is for your life and then stick to it. Then prioritize it. And Moses is just saying, God, I understand how powerful and great you are, and I thank you for your love that even sometimes causes me pain. So he says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. God, help us to realize how short and finite our lives are. Remember that we were created for a purpose, and we only have a short time on this earth to accomplish that purpose. It's so tempting in our world to just kind of think, well, I'm 80. I'm retired. And I don't really care if I retire for 10 years or for 50 years. Like, we just kind of wind down our life. And I think that's where Moses was when he was a shepherd. There's probably some 80-year-olds in this room who are kind of have that feeling. Like, well, it doesn't matter too much if I go however many more years because I'm retired now. That kind of thinking comes from having a finite purpose, a purpose that has an end date. But the purpose that God created you for is an eternal purpose. It lasts forever. It goes on beyond this life. You are not just investing in these bookends of life. You are not just investing on what happens here. You are investing in eternity when you become who you were created to be. You are evolving into the person that God created you to be so that you can affect heaven and you can bring heaven to earth. So what do we do with our time? What's important on this earth? How do we recognize that our time on this earth is finite? You remember when you got engaged? The first thing you did when you got engaged was you set a date. And then some of us took too long to set the date, so everybody's nagging us all the time. When are you going to set a date? So then you set a date, and then the panic sets in. for at least one of you in the relationship, and you start thinking about, I've got a deadline, and I'm right here, and there is a lot of stuff that has to happen between now and then. So what do? You start creating a priorities list. You start, the things that are most important get on the calendar quickly. Like, there's some other things that can get bumped, but we've got to nail down these few things, and you create a priority list. You'd be amazed how many times we get calls here at the church saying, I've got a wedding tomorrow, will you do it for me? Somebody did not prioritize well, because that's probably not going to happen. Because there are certain things that we just know, you got to line them out early. We've got weddings, no joke, we've got weddings on the calendar in our church for like 16 months from now. This is how people plan weddings. They prioritize things. They get things on the calendar. They start with the most important things. So why don't we do this with our lives? Why don't we realize that we've got a deadline? You don't know when it is with your life, but you've got an end date. And so what are we doing between now and then? Where is our urgency to accomplish what we need to accomplish? Because what God has called us to do is kind of decide, what are the most important things in my life? You're probably wondering how many different illustrations I can do with fish bowls. Here's another one. These are the most important things in our lives. And we kind of decide, you know what? And usually these are all relationships. We kind of decide, you know what? My relationship with God is important enough to put on the calendar first, to prioritize. You know what? My relationship with my spouse is important enough to make sure that it's a priority. My relationship with my kids, my relationship with my life group, and my church family. And so we just kind of put these things on the calendar first. And we kind of say, those are the non-negotiables. I got to make sure those get into my calendar, into my time that I have allotted. And then there's the other things that we kind of decide, okay, in order for these things to kind of go well, I need to hit my deadlines at work. And I need to kind of take care of our house, and I need to make some money, and I need to take care of whatever it is that we take care of on a daily basis that seems so important. And we just kind of, everything else goes in. These things have to make it in. But the problem is we put all that in there, and we kind of think, that's kind of a boring life. Where does the fun come in? Well, I got a little bit of space for fun. I got a little bit of space for extra. And so let's see if we can fit the rest in there. Let's see if we can fit some fun in there. Let's see if with all this space of time that we're able to get done what we need to get done. And at the end of the day, we kind of just look back and say, well, it may not be pretty, but look, we got it all done. In fact, we've got a little bit of margin there. We've got a little bit of rest time. I can spend some time resting, playing, doing some other stuff because I got everything done I needed to get done. This is the principle of Sabbath. Work 6 days and rest a day. Have a plan, have a schedule, prioritize, work hard, fit it in there so that when you rest, you're rejuvenating yourself for another 6 days. The problem is that so many of us live our lives just kind of letting it happen as it happens. You wake up and you just kind of do what you feel like doing. I don't really feel like working out today. I think I'll just put that off. I kind of feel like I need to catch up on Candy Crush. I'm falling behind and they created new levels. So I'll make sure and I'll get that in there. And, well, I need to check ESPN. I'm not sure who won last night, and I can't imagine going 10 minutes without knowing who won the game. And I need to know what the most recent Democrat or Republican is saying about Trump. And so I got to check on that as well. And we just kind of, whatever feels good, or somebody asks us, hey, you want to go to a movie? Hurry, you want to do it? Sure, yeah, whatever. I'll just throw it in there and let it come as it comes. And then we think, oh, no, I forgot. I missed life group because I scheduled a movie instead. I better make that a priority. I'll get that in there. I'll go the next time. And then work deadlines come up, or you got homework that you got to do, and so those things, the deadlines force you. you got to get them into the calendar. And so the deadlines are coming. You're just doing more and more, getting the work done on the house. You got to fix the gutter. You got whatever you, I don't know what we do to houses. And then you think, I'm running really low on time. I better take my wife on a date. I better play with the kids. I got to make sure I go to church or whatever your priorities are. Then you think, I'm out of time. And that's okay if this is video games. That's not okay if this is your relationship with your kids. That's not okay if this is something that you really value. That's not okay if this is your relationship with God. But this is what happens when we just let life happen to us. We don't allow God to reveal to us what should be our priorities in life. And not only can we not fit everything in there, but there is no time here for rest. If you're feeling too tired, if you're feeling like every minute of your day is just draining, if you're feeling like you're just too busy all the time, this could be your life. There's no margin here. And you'd be thinking, that's cute, Mike, but video games are not sand, and my job is not a ping pong ball, and so I can fit things in my life. Here's the principle that I want to get to. I believe that God can, if you give God what is first, you give him the first fruits, if you prioritize the things that he's called you to, he will bless the rest. And he will make it possible that you can fit more into your time than you could do on your own. I see this principle in tithing. God says, I can do more with 90% of your money than you could ever dream of doing with 100% of your money. God says, if you will prioritize the things that are most important, I will help you take care of the rest. Maybe your family or your friends, your life group, jump in to help with the rest and take care of things. Maybe in the rest that you get, in the Sabbath rest you get, you gain the energy to accomplish more in a shorter amount of time. But whatever it is, I believe that God has blessed us with the ability to do what he's called us to do as long as we seek the priorities that he's given us to take upon ourselves. And most of the people that I've preached this sermon to so far have come up to me and talked to me about this tension of living in the Spirit and following and not having a plan because God... And then other people love the idea of having plan because I like to know where I'm going to be and I don't like uncertainty. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your plan versus God's plan. I'm talking about your ability to seek God and prioritize the things that he's called you to prioritize. And I'm not going to tell you what those things are because you were created for a purpose, so your priorities are going to be different than my priorities because the purpose that we were called to accomplish are not the same thing. So we seek what God has called us to prioritize so that we can become who we were created to be. God, today I thank you for the people in this room. I pray that you would remind them on a daily basis what little time they have, that they will set their mind on things above and not on things below and seek the things that you've called us to seek. God, I thank you for the people in this room who have so dedicated themselves for such a long time, even through pain, to prioritize their relationship with you. Help us each to remember that all of this is completely meaningless without you. Help us to seek you first, and all the rest will be added to us. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.